If you would, please open up your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. I've mentioned before that when studying your Bible, it's easy to pick one particular verse or a passage of Scripture, take that totally out of context, and apply it to whatever you desire to. You can find one Scripture, even one sentence that says something that you feel pretty good about, and focus on that to the extent that you abuse it, manipulate it into what you desire, and have it mean not anything close to what God originally intended. One verse that some people take completely out of context is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, 11 reads, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." Now, this is a very, as it says, a hopeful verse. This is a verse that it makes you feel good. God is looking out for us. Our future, even here in this life, that He is going to take care of our concerns, that evil won't trouble us. There are some preachers, and specifically, you look at those that are well-known televangelists that preach what you could refer to as health and wealth. If you become faithful to God, then God will give you health and wealth. If you are a Christian, if you're faithful, especially if you contribute a lot, that God will give you good things. This is one passage that they take to preach that doctrine. See how good God is. See if you follow God, won't good things happen to you? The thing is, when you look at it, and you look at especially those that are preaching this, it's hard not to think of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." You can find a teacher that will teach just about anything that you want to hear, and many of them will teach it, will say it, specifically because you do want to hear it. Either they want something that you have, maybe it's your money, maybe it's just your following. They want to gather to themselves a crowd, a flock to follow them and their teachings. Nothing is easier than to tell people what they want to hear. I won't have problems. If I follow God, I will be financially taken care of. I won't have hardships. Sign me up. It sounds nice, but is it true? I want to look first, is the doctrine of health and wealth true? That if I follow God, I will prosper physically? Well, it's kind of a complicated answer, and I guess you could say there's two answers for it. First, if I follow God, will my life be better? Well, to a certain extent, yes, it will be. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 2, it says, and this is speaking to the Israelites, "that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that those days may be prolonged. Therefore, O Israel, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." Will we prosper, even physically, if we follow God? The answer is yes, to a certain extent, we will. We find that in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 2, says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Both in the Old and New Testament, God is telling us, look, if you follow after my will, you can have better lives. But does this mean that we will gain wealth? Does this mean that we will have no troubles, no trials? Well, I guess the second part of that answer is no. It's not true then that we will receive automatically health and wealth, and it will continue to be that way for the rest of our lives. First off, we must understand God's providence, but also along with that, his severity. You see, God's providence allows for the natural course of things to take place, and as he established his laws and just the laws of nature of mankind, that if we follow those, it will be better for us, will it not? I mentioned before that God is a creator, and as our creator, he was the one that created, that made up the instruction manual. If you follow the instruction manual, things work a whole lot better. Numbers chapter 33, again, speaking to the Israelites, Numbers chapter 33 in verse 54, it says, "And you shall divide the land by lot as inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance, that everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then it shall be that those that you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall harass you in the land that you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them." Here God's saying, look, Israel, I am giving you this land flowing with milk and honey, but the thing is, you better drive out those peoples that are already in it. And if you don't, they're going to plague you. Why? Because God is going to force them to do so? No, because that's just what's going to happen. Because they serve different gods. Because you're coming in and you are taking their land. God says you must get rid of them. They didn't, and they were thorns in their sides. But not only that, because they disobeyed God, God also punished them. It's a two-way road. If you serve God, if you follow him, things will be better. If you don't, well, Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, Christ said, "As many as I love, therefore I rebuke and chasten." As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to fail. But if we do, he will do whatever it takes to get us back. Sometimes we come back and sometimes we won't. You just look at the history of Israel and you can see that. When they fell away, when they started serving foreign gods, God would punish them. He would raise up peoples to come in and oppress them. Then they would turn back to God when they realized they needed him. And see, that's the biggest problem with the health and wealth doctrine. What happens when somebody gets health and wealth that think, oh, I can do this on my own. I'm healthy. I don't need God for anything. I'm fine. I don't need him for my health. I don't need him for my finances. I have plenty of those. What do I need God for? Look at all I have achieved. So many times that's what happens when we reject God. I have everything I need in this life. I don't need him. But when we have a little bit of a hardship, when we struggle, that's when we stop and realize, oh, I can't do this on my own. I do need God. Will we prosper serving God? To a certain extent, yes. But not necessarily. Will life be better here on earth? Absolutely it will be. It will be better for us. But does that mean that we won't ever suffer? Hardly. I want to look real briefly. What did God promise us? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, we're told, "And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we might be glorified together with him." We are heirs together with Christ if indeed we suffer with him. As Christ suffered, so we also will suffer. We are told explicitly this must happen to us. It's not hard to understand. John chapter 15, verse 20, Christ said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." We will be persecuted. We will have struggles. We will suffer in this life. That is to be expected. Just because we follow God doesn't mean that nothing bad will happen. We're actually guaranteed that it will. We will suffer as Christians. But that doesn't mean God doesn't care about us or he's not looking after us. I want to look briefly at this verse in context. Really, this verse to use it to teach the doctrine of health and wealth, that all you have to do is be faithful to God and he will take care of you and you won't have suffering, that you will have everything that you desire. Taking it from this verse it has to be taken totally out of context. First off, I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 1, to understand who it is that Jeremiah is writing to. Jeremiah 29, verse 1 says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." He is writing this, the verse 11, in the context of it is Jeremiah writing to the captives, the Jewish captives in Babylonian captivity. And yet people want to say, "Oh, health and wealth. See, everything good will happen to you. All you have to do is be faithful to God." There were faithful people to God taken into Babylonian captivity. They didn't want to be in Babylon. They wanted to be in Israel. They wanted to be in Judea. But that's not what happened. A little bit further down, look at verse 4. Look, here's what Jeremiah, through inspiration, tells these people that he's writing to. Starting verse 4, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, to whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." Really, God calls this to happen. "Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminish. And seek the peace of that city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets nor your diviners who are in the midst deceive you or listen to your dreams for which you cause them to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name and have not sent them, and I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to be returned to this place." God says, "Look, because you have disobeyed, you have gone into Babylonian captivity. And you know what? You're going to stay there. No matter what anybody else says, no matter all these false prophets." And what did they want? There were plenty of false prophets before Nebuchadnezzar came in and carried them away captive, and even after, that said, "Oh no, this is not going to happen. We might be taken captive, but it'll only be for a very short time." God says, "No, 70 years. That is what I told you. You know what? Get comfortable." That's what he's telling them. "You just get comfortable." Is it what they wanted? No, it's not. God said, "You need to be faithful to me. Even there in Babylon, be faithful to me. Despite the fact that I'm telling you, you are not going to get what you want, be faithful to me. And everybody else that says health and wealth, they're not from me. Don't listen to me. You be faithful." The thing is, God never guaranteed us health and wealth. Will our lives be better if we follow after him? Yes, they will. But it's no guarantee. I want you to think about it for a minute. What is it that we are truly hoping for? Are we hoping for a better life here and that's it? Or are we hoping for something greater? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 16, "Therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You know what? God did say health and wealth. But he says, that's the life to come. And that's only if you are obedient to me, only if you follow me. You will suffer, you will struggle in this life. It's going to happen. But if you are faithful to me unto death, you will receive that crown of righteousness. We sing the song, "No Tears in Heaven." That's what we are looking forward to. That mansion, robe, and crown. We sing about that as well. There is something great to look forward to. There is no worries. There is no cares. We will be in the very presence of God. We will suffer no longer. But while we're here in this life, God says, be obedient to me. Because one day I am coming for you. Hopefully this helps us to understand those that proclaim the health and wealth doctrine here in this life. I'll offer the invitation at this time. If there's anyone that is subject, we want to encourage you. If you have a need, a care, if there's anything that we can do for you this afternoon, we encourage you, please come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.